We're going to talk about something kind of crazy today. In fact, I did about a year ago, and we covered this topic of the fake alien PSYOP invasion ET mothership. It's here. The aliens are here. Did you know that? Well, it turns out, I'm joking, by the way. Turns out NBC News played a clip a few days ago, and we'll play that clip here in a little bit, where they actually said on their nightly news program that the alien mothership may actually possibly, perhaps, kinda, might actually be out there above us. Right now, this is not me. This is NBC Nightly News saying that there might be an alien mothership. And this is, of course, going on during the period when we had a few weeks ago, we had all that spy balloon drama and all this kind of stuff. And so I want to go back into the alien narrative and why that's important and why it's a bunch of baloney, because it's part of the PSYOP that I believe they will use as they roll out a lot of these narratives and a lot of the control grid and a lot of the transhumanist Skynet stuff that they want to put in place. Aliens really just fosters and helps that narrative. To what degree they might use some kind of stage thing, blue beam or something like that, I don't know. Very possible. All these things are always in the cards. But when we go back to the history of the alien narrative, what we find out is that a lot of the figures in the first stories, the first cases of abductions, George Adamski, Betty and Barney Hill, right? These figures, who later sort of got involved in the case of Betty and Barney Hill, was starting an alien cult, one of the earliest alien cults. This all turns out to have deep connections to the deep state. No surprise there. And in the case, for example, George Adamski, it turns out his story of the alien abduction thesis was already in prior science fiction novels. So we have this model of the abduction narrative that then gets popularized by famous films like Spielberg's Close Encounters of the Third Kind, and then a host of a million other alien movies and stories that have been promoted, going all the way back to, you know, John Carter of Mars, H.G. Wells's War of the Worlds. All of those things were written by people who, in the case of H.G. Wells, were master propagandists. You know, H.G. Wells, who we covered many, many times, was really the father of the modern alien narrative, the idea of the external threat that threatens the whole world, behind whom the whole world aligns and then gets into a kind of a global socialist world government. If you go back to the movie The Day the Earth Stood Still, which we've talked about many times, which is one of those early formative alien narrative novel stories that was a big sort of blockbuster, there was a famous CIA operative actually consulted on that film, C.D. Jackson, who's the author of the Doctrinal Warfare Program, about using the Roman Catholic Church and other religious institutions as part of the West's Cold War narrative. So this guy who's involved in what we call religious engineering is also involved in consulting and giving information to movie studios on how to construct alien narratives, namely The Day the Earth Stood Still. Now, if you've never seen The Day the Earth Stood Still, this is the story of an alien from space who's a carpenter. So he has this Jesus-style, you know, image going on, this Jesus-esque image. And he comes to warn us that the evil aliens are going to come and destroy us, right? Klaatu is the evil alien that's going to come and destroy everybody. And he says, if you don't disarm all of your nations, your national governments, get rid of nationalism and form a socialist world government based around science, the aliens are going to come and destroy us all. And this is precisely that narrative threat that we've heard for so long, that the external threat, be it some other nation, be it some other force, be it the intergalactic entities, they're going to destroy Earth if we don't have a world government. In fact, this has even been lampooned in really popular memes in the last year, where the aliens are coming and they're saying, oh, form a world government. And they're really just projections by the UN, right? It's a joke, right? So I'm not saying that aliens are literal projections, although they could be. Who knows? But really, all of this bears a narrative surrounding psychological operations and black ops. And some of the most recent famous books covering this topic, like Annie Jacobson's Area 51, go into this angle. It's important to understand how closely the science fiction narrative behind the alien invasion mythos and the intelligence agency narrative, how they collude, how they collide, how they overlap. And there's always been this deep connection between them. precisely because a lot of the entities pushing the alien narrative overlap with being intelligence operatives, overlap with being propagandists. Remember, the most famous of these stories, probably of all of them, goes back to H.G. Wells, The War of the Worlds. I'm sure everybody has seen War of the Worlds. And again, the message of War of the Worlds is also kind of the same kind of a narrative, right? That really we must all stand together in some sort of a global governance, or else something, be it aliens, be it nukes, be it biological warfare, pathogens, right, will destroy the human race. That's a continual crisis, problem, reaction, solution narrative that we find from the propagandists of the global elite, the social engineers. In fact, H.G. Wells writes many books saying what his ultimate designs are with all this propaganda. Again, master propagandist. H.G. Wells says that the ultimate goal is to form a world government. He wrote two books on this, The Open Conspiracy and The New World Order. Those are the titles of the books. And in those in those books, he describes how this world government will be created on the basis of a kind of technocratic socialist program. And he says a monopoly capitalism, by the way, is not the enemy. Monopoly capitalism is the entity that will create the infrastructure and then hand it over to the radical Fabian socialists that you've heard me cover for the last year. So it's not anti-socialist. They're not anti-capitalist. They're above that. They're a kind of Fabian synarchical group that we could say in the long run believes in a kind of a Promethean Luciferian kind of deity. H.G. Wells, in his book God the Invisible King, describes that he worships and believes in a Luciferian kind of God. He says, Lucifer is my God, not anything like you would think of in the traditional religious sense. Now, in terms of the alien narrative, it's odd because many comparative religion writers have noted the parallels, and pop writers too, between the stories that shamans have in their traditions of the gods or the interdimensional beings, the entities, and what we tend to find throughout a lot of these alien stories, the alien narratives. So there's a parallel between what the gods are in the ancient religions and in shamanism and what the aliens are and the message and the narratives that the aliens have nowadays. For example, if you go and watch a bunch of people's YouTube videos about their DMT trip reports or their LSD trips, ones that have interactions with these cosmic entities or the machine elves. We all know that most famously, Terrence McKenna, right, the psychonaut.
Well, I spoke to the machine elves, and they told me to form a world government, and if we don't, everyone's going to die.
That's literally what – that's the whole message, the whole gospel of Terrence McKenna, right, the machine elves. So the world government, the socialist project, fits very well with this kind of a hallucinogenic psychonaut narrative, as well as a controlled religious engineered narrative. Now, there's a professor that wrote a book that I've covered. Her name is Dr. Brenda Densler, and her book is about the history of UFO beliefs and cults. And she has an amazing section where she cites a Brookings Institute report from the 1960s commissioned by NASA. And it mentions the consultation of other figures like Arthur C. Clarke, who, of course, is the author of The Sentinel, 2001, 2010, 3001. And those are the stories that were the basis, of course, of the Kubrick film. And we have this monolith that shows up, right, that propels humanity into the next phase of a Luciferian evolution. And if you watch 2010, the movie, you'll see that. They make it very clear that it's a Luciferian narrative at the end of the film. And, of course, Clark makes this clear in Childhood's End, right? The overlord, the overmind, these entities are actually demons. They're pictured as demons in Childhood's End. And so when Densler talks about this, she says that many religious traditions, including Christianity, have noted the parallels between the UFO phenomenon, abductions, and demonic activity. And she says about this 1960, I think it's 8 or 9, Brookings Institute report, the NASA Brookings report said Christianity would be particularly compromised by the discovery of ET life. That is because Christianity makes much of the doctrine of the incarnation of Christ as a historical event. Thus, knowledge of the news of Christ's passion, ascension, and atonement are fundamental parts of salvation. If this was true, then it would mean that Christ needed to die on innumerable worlds to save the aliens, or that the church would have to engage in a missionary project of converting the aliens throughout the gospel, throughout the galaxy. So we have to do like a galactic Great Commission or something like that. Now, the report goes on to say that this would all be vain because there's no way to evangelize the galaxies. And then it says, thus, the religion would be basically be damaged, and it would be irreconcilable with the doctrine of divine providence. So in other words, they're saying that alien life would essentially undermine the entirety of the Christian mythos, the biblical mythos, history, and narrative. So that shows you right there that there's a potential usage for and a steering for alternative worldviews and alternative positions. There's a word in German called Weltanschauungskrieg, which is worldview warfare. And this refers to battling people's worldviews as part of information or as part of psychological warfare. So in other words, we all know about Sun Tzu, Art of War. But in the modern age, modern warfare is, I think, about 80%, 90% informational. And you have another, you know, 10%, few percentages of that are actual kinetic warfare and this kind of stuff. But the majority of it in the modern era is information and ideological warfare. And that has replaced ancient and medieval warfare, which was probably the opposite. Right? It was largely kinetic, largely battlefield warfare. So modern warfare revolves around info war. And the social engineers spend all of their time studying and researching ways to tweak, ways to turn, ways to steer people's worldviews and belief systems. And so that's why you go back 100 years and you find the social engineers of that time very interested in, very curious about the alien mythos and narrative. In fact, some of the people from the inside of this system, a famous computer scientist and sort of a Pentagon computer man, Jacques Vallée, right? He wrote the book Revelations. He wrote other books about how, in his view, the phenomena of UFOs, UAPs, and all this, it's not completely false. There's something to it. But he says, and he's not Christian, by the way. He was into various secret societies and esoteric stuff. So his take is that, well, these aren't extra planetary biological life forms. These are actually terrestrial, or they're earthly-based things that seem to have some kind of a interdimensional reality. They exist in a dimension above us, which, what do you know, doesn't that parallel very well with the biblical notion of the demonic, right? And if, you know, again, think about the parallels to the drug experiences, the hallucinogenic experiences, not just of today's, you know, post-1960s counterculture people, but going back to the ancient shamanic traditions. There's always this interaction that occurs through the rituals, through the drug use, through the ayahuasca, whatever, where the entities begin to tell you, okay, we want you to do this. We'll, you know, sacrifice your kids to us for this. It's always the same type of thing. Now the narrative is form a world government and you'll save the planet. Stop having kids. That's literally what the majority of the messages that people have, when they do these trips. Now, in Jacques Vallée's case, he says that this is something that's intent on deceiving us. So on both levels, whether it's we're looking at just the governmental black ops, psyops level, or whether we're looking at a more spiritual, transcendent level, Jacques Vallée says that on both of these levels, there's deception going on. We're being deceived. We're being lied to. And many other writers in this field, even people who promote the alien mythos and narrative, admit that there's a lot of lying and deception going on about the intent of what's behind this. Now, the level one, you could say, analysis of this that goes back to maybe the 70s and 80s is the idea that the government is hiding the history and the background of the aliens. They're here. They came, and the government doesn't want us to know because everybody would freak out. That's not true. In fact, you can go back to the Orson Welles radio broadcasts where he broadcast H.G. Wells's War of the Worlds as if it was a real newsreel, and everybody freaked out, and that was actually part of a big PSYOP research program. So I don't know if we have that clip that I sent. I sent an NBC News clip. Do you guys have that? If you don't, that's okay. We can just keep going. Okay, can we go ahead and roll that NBC News clip? And you'll see this was about a week or two ago on mainstream nightly news.
On his side, Lester.
Henry Mitchell, thanks. In 60 seconds, the new draft report on UFOs. The Pentagon's expert warning about a possible mothership coming close to Earth. Stay with us. It may sound straight out of a movie, but the Pentagon and a Harvard scientist have collaborated on a new draft report questioning if we're alone in the universe and whether we've already seen evidence of life beyond Earth. Here's Gotti Schwartz.
Move over, Chinese spy balloon, or whatever else U.S. fighter jets shot down last month. Tonight, out of Harvard University, a draft paper about mysterious flying objects sounding almost like science fiction.
There's a good thing.
I think it's very likely that we are not the most intelligent civilization that ever existed.
Renowned Harvard astronomer Avi Loeb, teaming up with the new head of the Pentagon's UFO office, dubbed the All-Domain Anomaly Resolution Office. Together, they say that interstellar objects detected in space could be signs of extraterrestrial life, and that current sky mapping technology, like the James Webb Space Telescope, could miss such objects.
It could have been a mothership that released some probes in the habitable.
There you see it. NBC Nightly News now implying maybe, sort of, perhaps there could have also kind of been a mothership, perhaps, maybe, but it was, but maybe, but not really. No, it's not P-Funk. It's not P-Funk, right? It's the mothership dropping them zap bombs. It's the real mothership. It's not even, I wish it was the P-Funk mothership, George Clinton and Bootsy Collins. That'd be a better alien invasion than this fake staged fake and gray alien invasion. When we go back to the history again of the stories behind, the so-called documents, you have Project Blue Book where I think it's the Air Force was investigating all this, right, decades ago. Then you have Project MJ-12, right, which in my view was a made-up psyop to get everybody believing that there is this alien narrative. And if you watch the great documentary Mirage Men, I highly recommend watching that, because there's interviews in that famous documentary with Air Force counterintelligence people who were involved in crafting and creating fake and staged alien crashes, alien takeoffs at bases that they filmed on purpose to kind of put out there and dupe people. So it's an element of psyops. And so there's a whole documentary on this. Again, Mirage Men, famous documentary. And in my view, that really lays out what's going on in this whole alien nonsense scenario, especially at the human level. Could there be some, I'm sure there are unexplained aerial phenomena, sure. But unexplained aerial phenomena does not translate into alien creators, alien panspermia stories of humans being seeded by aliens. That's always where this goes. In fact, in Annie Jacobson's recent book, and of course we've mentioned her texts for a long time, she has a famous book on Paperclip. She has a famous book on the stories of the history of DARPA. We've lectured through that text on my channel as well. So all of these, there's a pattern that we see in her writings, which I think are really good. And that's, she does touch on MKUltra when it comes up in Paperclip and in the DARPA book. And in those projects, we see studies into engineering and controlling belief systems. It's not just mind control. It's also belief control, worldview warfare. So the alien story and narrative is part of that warfare, part of that narrative. And in my view, my opinion, my analysis of this is that when we go back to the release of these documents and these projects back in the 40s and 50s, Blue Book, MJ-12, these so-called cover-ups, they really underlie the narrative that the intelligence apparatus or aspects of that apparatus have wanted for a long time, which is to create and control and steer a new mythos, a new narrative for the world to fit into the overall technocratic world agenda. Now, they may not go with the alien narrative. It may be at a point where, well, if enough people don't believe that or they think it's silly, they won't go with that. We had, for example, 2016, the World Economic Forum's video that put out the 8 things to expect by 2030. One of those included the potential discovery of alien life. As well as, you will eat nothing, you will own nothing, right? You will be happy. All of that was part of that 8-point plan projected by the WEF by 2030. And so they made it a point to mention the alien mythos and narrative. But again, just think again to the case, I think it was Betty and Barney Hill It may have been Adamski, but one of the two cases, in fact, I'm going from memory, had the figure of none other than Alan Dulles. Yeah, it's always, by the way, these really blurry things. What year is this? Right? Is this 2003? Everybody is filming on a Verizon flip phone with 144 pixel definition. I mean, what? How come? And there's no like really good imagery of all these so-called alien objects. Now, there could be advanced technology that's used by the Pentagon, advanced drones, something like this, sure. But none of this necessarily translates into or equates to alien life from another planet. Maybe there is such a thing as that, but I've not seen anything that suggests that or proves that with any evidence. All I've ever seen is blurry videos, the stories of people that, again, have connections to the Pentagon, to, you know, the deep state, et cetera. There's always these shady intelligence people in the background, especially when it comes to these UFO groups like MUFON and NICAP. And, again, Alan Dulles, again, is one of these figures who steps to the fore to shut down, in the case, I think, of Betty and Barney Hill. It's either Betty and Barney Hill or George Adamski. Alan Dulles steps in to shut down the exposure and the information coming out about that being basically a giant fraud. Why would Alan Dulles care about some random UFO quack coming out and being exposed and their story being, you know, basically fraudulent? Well, it would matter if there's some, you know, connection to these agencies, and there absolutely is. And, you know, we look back to things like the aviary, right? Another one of these alien narrative connected things. And that's all a bunch of CIA black ops people. And this is what we constantly find is that element in the background of the alien narrative. And again, the same people now in the government that are telling you that, well, there may possibly perhaps be alien motherships. These are the same people that told you to get the coof or to get the stabbies for the coof. The same people that shut down the churches and locked down everything. The same people that, like, put your mask on, now take your mask off, now turn, now put it back on, I'm Fauci, put a little bit of flesh-eating disease on the face of a puppy dog. That's who's now telling you that the aliens are out there. Consummate liars. WMDs. So why would we believe these people by anything, much less this alien narrative? Now, again, I'm not denying the reality of spiritual entities. But there's absolutely no reason to think that visitors from other planets are the best explanation for this, or that they're extra biological entities. And now they switch from calling them UFOs to UAPs, which I guess, well, that sounds a little more official. The Pentagon has put out a document on UAPs, right? Now, again, most likely a lot of this is just surveillance technology from foreign states, et cetera. Or it's deep state technology that's used to foster the alien mythos or narrative. Again, covering up, using this narrative as part of a cover up, as a shell narrative, a cloak for black ops and other kinds of things. And many, many people have come to that conclusion. You know, in my book, I wrote a significant section of about, I don't know, 80 pages in my first text devoted to this idea of H.G. Wells' science fiction propaganda and Spielberg's mythos. And there's a great quote by an analyst named Jeffrey Steinberg, and he said that Bertrand Russell's description of a scientific dictatorship was matched by the account of Aldous Huxley, the author of the utopian tract Brave New World, in a speech on the U.S. State Department's Voice of America in 1961 of a world of pharmacological manipulated slaves living in concentration camps of the mind through enhanced propaganda and psychotropic drugs. They learn to love their servitude and abandon all their will to resist. This, Aldous Huxley said, is what the final revolution is. So the final revolution, as we said, you know, in these dystopian novels, especially in the figure of Aldous Huxley, is not something that's purely a narrative, purely a fantasy, a dystopian fantasy. It's actually a real plan. And the people in the circles of Huxley, the people that he knew, the Bertrand Russells, the Lord Birkenheads in his famous essay about the future dystopia, the Royal Society Fabian Socialists, Lord Milner, the individuals like George Bernard Shaw, individuals like Jacques Attali or Klaus Schwab today, all have that same plan and that same agenda, which is to erect this global network of technocratic control that supplants and overrides nation states. Nation states have to be undone, H.G. Wells says, because they're part of the old bourgeoisie narrative. They're part of that old way of doing things where people are divided on invented notions like class or identity. That has to be overcome through Marxist socialist praxis that's fostered by monopoly capital. And amazingly, H.G. Wells even says this. Wells famously says New World Order or Open Conspiracy, he says, all of you street-level Marxists, do not understand that there's not the engine and the power to put into reality this global socialist order without the use of monopoly capital's money. He says monopoly capital has this powerful engine, right, by pushing the notion of free enterprise. Now, there is such a thing as free enterprise, but I'm saying that monopoly capital isn't actually what free markets are, right? This idea of free transactions and whatnot, liberty in exchanges and commerce, but rather a top-down control mechanism that David Rockefeller and his family have described as their plan in David Rockefeller's memoirs. So this notion of a Marxist revolution funded by monopoly capital is championed by H.G. Wells himself. H.G. Wells notes that the power of monopoly capital is such that eventually they will hand over the world government that they've kind of built the infrastructure for to the real revolutionaries, the final revolutionaries. And I would add, too, that a lot of what helped build this idea and this structure was studying cults and studying alternative religious movements. And many, many cults, as you know, have the notion of exotheology or the notion of an external global threat behind them, such as, we think of Scientology, you think of the Raelians, all these different alien cults who have also always had these weird, shady intelligence background connections. And that's because the whole history of science fiction, the whole history of the new narrative that's being crafted is intent on studying religious beliefs and to tailor them and engineer them for a new future world religion. Now, it's my theory, my speculation. We don't know exactly what form that future world religion will take, but it's very likely that it will be something like what we see in the pushes for a new syncretistic world religion. If we go back to Madame Blavatsky, right, and her push for a theosophy-based world religion, you know, she is the mother founder of the modern New Age movement. She and Alice Bailey and Annie Besant, who formed the philosophical religious identity of the United Nations UNESCO group at the Lucifer Trust, now called the Lucis Trust, they were pushing this idea of a cosmic, a galactic kind of theosophical world religion, a New Age world religion 100-plus years ago, back in the late 1800s, early 1900s. And they were really running in the circles of British intelligence at that time, running in the circles of the Milner-Fabian socialist cliques. And they had a lot of connections to Bolsheviks, a lot of connections to KGB people as well, especially during the Trotskyite period, the Leninist period. When Stalin came to power, he saw this as something he wanted to shut down, and then he went for more of an infiltrate and use the Russian Orthodox Church approach. That was the Stalin model. So he didn't really favor this sort of New Agey kind of stuff. He wanted something else. But this reemerged in the 1960s with all of the counterculture. And if you read the writings of Dave McGowan, like Weird Scenes Inside the Canyon, or if you've read books, mainline books like J. Stevens' Storming Heaven, then you know a lot of that counterculture was actually fostered by the intelligence agencies. So in my view, it's not accidental that you have the explosion of the mainlining of psychedelic drug use in the 1960s by design. According to Dr. Timothy Leary, he says that if you want to thank anybody for the 1960s explosion of LSD, he says you can thank me and the CIA. That was an attempt to alter and steer society in a different direction and to test and to see how people would operate and act if there was this mass releasing of and usage of psychedelic drugs for initiation and for cultural driving and cultural change. So that was done on purpose, not saying everybody involved was an asset or an agent, just saying that it was promoted and pushed from up high, and that social experiment was very useful. Now, Stanford research documents, Changing Images of Man, SRI documents in the 1970s about the future of veganism and alternative lifestyles and anarcho styles of living came out in the 1970s, and they're mentioned by one of the global elites, Alvin Toffler, author of Future Shock and Power Shift. Toffler talks about the usage of new alternative lifestyles that were promoted in the 60s and 70s on purpose via the push through social engineering. This is all documented and provable in those texts, but nobody reads those texts. People don't go and read Toffler. They don't go and read Jacques Attali. They don't go and read H.G. Wells and all these people, but we do that. I've been doing that for the last 6 or 7 years in terms of publicly lecturing through those books. But and when we look through those books, what we find is exactly what I'm talking about, this coordinated narrative. And it's not so much that anybody cares about aliens per se. It's that they want to have a system, a belief system that is most useful to steering people into the technocratic agenda. That's what it's really about. It's not about aliens. It's about whether or not the belief system that's being engineered for a future potential world religion has the ability to steer people into the technocratic system, to get them to accept transhumanist things, to get them to accept, you know, the Skynet system, the surveillance and all that, right? And what did Klaus say? We were going to change your DNA, right? It's not about just rewriting the ideas that people have. It's about rewriting human biology, rewriting the human genome, according to Klaus, according to Noah Yuval Harari. They all talk about doing that very thing. And in my view, science fiction is very useful for this, because science fiction plays into promoting and convincing so many people of the alien mythos and narrative. Even though we don't really have any hard evidence, people just believe these ridiculous sort of fantastical stories of, you know, alien craft that crashed in Roswell or whatever. And, you know, it's like the stuff that's supposed to be an alien craft is like tinfoil. Right. Oh, the tinfoil. Look, it's got weird alien markings on it. Like as if advanced species from a million light years away flew here in some sort of tinfoil craft and crashed. Right. I mean, it's ridiculous. So they get all the way here. What, they don't have gas to get here and they crash? I mean, it's like, how do you have an alien craft that, you know, travels light years and it crashes? I mean, it's just preposterous. Right. So. But this mythos, this narrative is very useful because it fits so well with the agenda of these Fabian socialist internationals, global elite entities. Those global elite entities are always looking for and tweaking and tailoring their positions. Because remember, there's think tanks, foundations, you know, they're constantly writing white papers about this to steer everybody into that technocratic agenda. That's what it's really about. And we've seen this narrative pushed in so many films. Think back to something like the movie Prometheus, right? The Ridley Scott alien story, the prior to the last one called Alien Covenant. In Prometheus, right, you had the revelation that the Earthlings were seeded by these engineers. And the engineers created us to be we were at accidental creation, right? So the engineers were interested in the creation of a bioweapon to deal with their own alien enemies. And one of those engineers accidentally created the human race. So the human race was this accidental kind of abortion. And what we find in a lot of those alien stories and really in the Darwinian mythos as a whole is that humanity is this accidental phenomena that just sort of emerges out of the universe. And so perhaps humankind itself is the problem. And perhaps man needs to be dealt with in terms of being deleted from the universe, gotten rid of. That is ultimately the elite narrative. That's their worldview. They believe that humankind is a kind of an abortion from the universe itself, that it needs to be mutated or destroyed. We find that throughout the writings of all the elite that we lecture through, all their texts. That is precisely their view, whether it's Bertrand Russell, whether it's Jacques Attali, whether it's, you know, Zbigniew Brzezinski, David Rockefeller, whether it's, you know, name any of them. H.C. Wells, Bertrand Russell, they all note that human population has to be severely, drastically reduced. And so when we understand that is the ultimate goal, the ultimate purpose, the telos of all of this, we can begin to understand why they've invested in recruited so many social engineers, so many admin. Over many years, they've utilized Walter Lippmann. They've utilized the, you know, consulting agencies. They've utilized people from OSS who then went into doing psychological warfare to discuss how to steer and change people's ideas and their worldviews so that they can ultimately be brought into this new technocratic worldview. And again, it's not like they have to use the alien narrative, but they've invested so many decades in pushing this story and in pushing this through Hollywood and through science fiction that it seems like they really do want to go with that. They do find that to be something that is very useful because, it blends so well with the Darwinian story that humans are just an accidental sort of, they just popped out of the mud, the primordial muck. There's no real guiding of human beings, right? It's just happened. There's no creator. It's just a sort of accidental emergence. And then along with that same view, this worship of process, this worship of dialectics and dialectical process of the Marxists and the socialists, also comes this notion of transhumanism. So we are meaningless pieces of muck. Oh, but we're also gods in embryo evolving to become star child, right? When we meld with the technology. Now, which is it? Are we meaningless pieces of muck or are we gods in embryo evolving to become gods? You see that their own narratives don't even make sense. They contradict on their face. Noah Yuval Harari says that there's no such thing as free will. There's no free will. There's no consciousness. But then he says, we will upload the consciousness to the computer. There is no such thing as the mind. There is no free will or the consciousness. We will upload the mind and the consciousness to the cloud and you will live forever in the zip drive. Right? Well, those things are called contradictions. They don't make sense. Both of those things can't be true. They say you can't say there's no consciousness and then turn around and say that your consciousness will be uploaded to a computer. These are con men. These are fraud. These are liars. And they sell baloney. And the alien myth is another element of the baloney to steer you into this stuff, the technocratic stuff. That's it. That's the whole purpose of all of it. And amazingly, even some of the people that believe in the aliens and believe in this story tell you that it's a deception. If you watched Close Encounters of the Third Kind, the Spielberg movie, the French guy, Lacombe, I think is his name in the movie, played by François Truffaut, the famous actor, he's playing Jacques Vallée in the movie, which is odd because in the movie, the Lacombe character doesn't say that it's all a deception. He just says that it's really the fulfillment of all the world religions, if you don't remember. So if you go watch Close Encounters, and by the way, they have a staged train wreck bio scenario in the movie. Do you remember that? Which is odd given the recent events that happened in East Palestine, Ohio. Not to mention the movie White Noise, which was basically the same scenario, you know, last year out of Netflix made in the same town, East Palestine, Ohio. Again, predictive programming, right? People say, oh, it doesn't exist. Oh, really? So that's just a coincidence? Okay. Is everything coincidence? Is Dr. Fauci also, is he consistent? So you understand when you recognize their contradictions. This is why I teach philosophy courses, by the way. You can go over to Autonomy University and buy my philosophy courses if you're interested in getting a real deep, history of Western civilization philosophy background. Go to Autonomy University. Go to my YouTube page and you'll see it as the first link under all the videos, the new philosophy course. Why do I do that? Because it's pretty important to recognize contradictions. Now, all of us can do this. You don't have to have my philosophy course to recognize contradictions, but if you're interested in getting a better education in philosophy, I would recommend that. Because you will notice that worldviews, you will notice that logical contradictions, right? Things like emotional appeals make up a big part of how this system works. For example, in terms of warfare, one reason that, that false flags are so useful, or narratives where they show a child hurt or damaged in warfare, and then that kicks off a war, that's called an emotional appeal in philosophy, but it's a technique in psychological warfare. And so in the same way, the actual basis for the alien stories and the alien narratives, the alien mythos, is using a lot of psychological techniques, tactics, and tricks without much actual empirical evidence or foundation. Now, I'm not saying there's not unexplained phenomena. Sure, there are. But in most cases, those unexplained phenomena are the video clips that we see are CGI. They're fake. They're blurry old videos of who knows what. And we also have to take into account that the Pentagon has admitted, if you watch the Mirage Men documentary, that many of these counterintelligence people have admitted to creating these. So that really throws into question, I think, a lot of the supposed video proofs that we see of aliens and all this kind of stuff. And with the advances in holographic technology, even things that are actually seen, you know, have to be questioned nowadays, because we just simply don't know. And it's very difficult to prove in many cases exactly what was going on in these cases. Right. There's always a blurry light or something floating around in the clouds. Yeah. But how do we know that's not technology? How do we know that that's not just an unexplained phenomenon? Why do we leap to the conclusion that it's aliens? Well, in my view, we do that because we've been entrained through decades and decades of science fiction to think that, oh, yeah, it's aliens. Yeah, it's the Space Brothers, man. But why would we come to that conclusion? Well, maybe because I've seen like a million movies about aliens coming to E.T., Close Encounters, right? And movies have the ability to do that, to form our perception and to form our worldview, even if we don't recognize it. And not just the movies, but we've also been taught from almost womb to adulthood through ongoing state education. We've been taught that the evolutionary narrative is the only true religion and only two mythos. And it's treated just like a religion. You can't question the evolutionary story. If you do, you are run out of academia. You are called crazy. Even if you don't believe in the creation narrative, you still can't even question it. Maybe you believe something else. I don't know. Some other view. Because it's a dogma. You have to believe in that. Because it's a religious narrative. And you see that the Darwinian view synthesizes very well with the alien panspermia engineer's Prometheus worldview. And so it's very possible that this will be used for a world religion. I don't know for sure. I'm just saying that it has the potentiality for that. And in my view, that's exactly what it may be used for. And so many of these characters who've been involved in the promotion of the alien narrative have also been involved in black ops, psyops, and occultism. For example, Michael Aquino, right, the famous Satanist colonel, who was involved in MKUltra projects, according to his own admission, in terms of studying spacecom and space psyops events. That was what he claimed he studied and was all involved in researching, as well as writing on psyops. And so, I mean, these are not trustworthy figures. We're not going to find from them, you know, the real account of what's going on in our atmosphere, right? These are people who are trained in deception. So, you know, again, it just makes more sense in my view that the biblical narrative is more accurate, that these are demons, and that's why they're telling you to create a world government.